broadcasting to you from the other side. By which I mean the other side of Sheffield. This is Two Men and a Ghost.
Welcome to podcast number 8. The Skype one that we did last time is such a success in our imaginations that we've decided to do another one. And when we started doing this podcast, the original idea, and we're still going to do it, is that we go out and about and you hear driving and traffic noise and people on the streets, and we actually go on location and you hear what we're doing. But the trouble is we tried to do one 2 weeks ago, didn't we, Mike? But
we did.
It was fog. There was just so much fog that it was just impossible to get out.
Well, the problem is, as those of you will know about Sheffield, unfortunately in recent weeks we've been blighted with so much bad weather.
And then we wanted to go out and about again, but now that it's not just Sheffield, but I think the whole of the country has been under snow.
Absolutely.
So we've decided to do another podcast, but just in the warmth of our houses. I'm in Sheffield,
yes.
You're in Sheffield, but we're both talking through Skype and recording it. And since we're not out and about in Sheffield, we thought we'd do the next best thing and tell stories that we know about Sheffield. So I gather you are. I've done absolutely no research, but you've done loads. So if you want to tell them, and I'll just chip in with sarcastic comments.
No, that is fantastic.
And your audience can respond accordingly as well.
You know, they're still here. They're still here.
The Miami Sound Machine is still...
Yeah, you know, I said to them, look, guys, you know, you've been here far too long. I'd like you to leave now. And they said, No, we want to stay here. And we're having a great, great time. So they're all in...
A fridge of sandwiches and...
Absolutely. Oh, there's none left. None left whatsoever. They've eaten me out of house and home. And what... Oh, just a minute. Excuse me. Will you put that glass down, please? Great. Fantastic. Sorry about that. You know, some clumsy people. Okay, let's move on.
I hope that doesn't cost a lot of money to fix. Well,
the problem is some of them can be quite expensive. But what I'm going to do is that guy is about to break another glass. Hold on. I just want to get rid of him. Just a minute.
Oh, good. Dear. Oh, you heard it. You heard it live here on a Skype call.
Excellent. Right. Now down to what everybody wants to know. What's scary in Sheffield?
Spooky stories.
Absolutely. Okay. One of them that I found really interesting, actually, and it's a story that has dragged on and on for quite a number of years.
Now, you're not making these up, are you? You've actually done research into...
Honestly, I assure you that, I tell you, if I'm telling a lie, if I'm not telling the truth, may something drop in my head as I speak.
Well, that's convinced me.
Absolutely. Well,
it wasn't an anvil with Acme written on it.
Hold on. Zebedee, get out. Thank you.
Time for bed, Zebedee.
There's a place in Sheffield on Surrey Street, and it is called... Now
Surrey Street is where we went to Sheffield Library, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Now, for those of you who are local, please, I do apologise if I get the pronunciation wrong. It is either pronounced Leader House or Leader House, and I'm not really sure which. I think it's Leader House, but I'm open to be corrected. Going back in the 1800s, Leader House came about by a man of the same name, and the reason why the guy was very well known for doing silver plating, and he was very successful. And the gentleman had this place built. Over the years that this place existed, naturally, they had a certain amount of staff there, and regrettably, one of the staff, a young lady, actually died. Ooh. Now, this is where it all starts to get spooky. Okay, madam, shut up. Thank you. going back at that period, people started to become very aware that in certain parts of the building, and it's not a very big building, you know, you're talking the average size kind of Victorian-ish townhouse,
right.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But they always noticed that whenever anybody went, particularly upstairs into the attic area, that there was a very real kind of presence felt. Some people got to the point where they refused to actually work there. Now, as the years went by, obviously the library was formed and was functioning well. And what happened was that somebody who worked there was asked, because there is a link and connection, or there was at that time, between the two places.
Right.
They were asked, oh, could they go across and sort out some files? Now, what she'd not known about was, and forgive me, I'm conscious I've suddenly skipped over a little bit, and I apologize.
Oh, my
it was
God.
A story that
you
she'd
know what?
Not
I could
actually...
edit this later, but I can't be bothered.
No. It's more exciting that it's all natural. But it gives people an idea of exactly, you know, that we're doing it straight off the cuff. Ah, there's my idea button. Right. what had happened was, leading to this, was an elderly lady who was in service there. She had always warned people. She always said, look, we do have a ghost here, and you might see her.
Oh, right.
And when people did go to work there...
So they were honest about it?
They were very open. The old lady wasn't nervous about it. This was the interesting thing. She kind of become accustomed to it, but people did leave. Now, forgive me, jumping more further down, further into the present, the young lady was working at the library. She was asked to go into the house, go up to the basement. Sorry, start again, go up to the attic. What am I saying?
I'll edit this.
It was an upside-down house for your imagination. They would go upstairs into the attic, into a section that housed all these old files. Now, on this particular occasion, the young woman went in, and she was kind of aware that someone was walking behind her.
Ooh.
But she couldn't see anybody. She went into the room, and as she did, suddenly, the door, it just slammed to, and she became deeply aware of a frightening presence.
Mike, I don't know about you, but the Skype sounds like it's gone a bit dodgy. You're sounding like you're talking out of a tin can. It's gone a bit echoey. Is it just me or you?
No, I didn't pick up on anything. No, it must be your line. So when she was in the room, suddenly the files, the big filing cabinets, started getting knocked over quite violently. She fell to the floor.
I don't know why I'm laughing. This is terrible.
It is frightening.
Yeah.
Deeply frightening. And then...
Blimey, it happened again.
Good grief. And then she laid on the floor, and people found her. She was kind of lying there in like the fetal position. She was really scared.
Oh, I don't blame her.
Some months later, she could not go back to that place, by the way. And some months later, she was persuaded by somebody else who worked in the library. They said, look, we need to get some files. And this guy said, I'll come with you. No problem. I'll come across with you.
Oh, what a
mug. So they both went together. I agree. They both went together. They could have gone really with a big dog, you know.
Yeah.
And then they went upstairs. Now, the young lady, she was walking just literally a few feet in front of the guy, so he could see this happening.
Mm.
And as she walked first into the attic room, as he got near the door, suddenly the door slammed in his face, and he could hear all this commotion, noises, things getting knocked over. He eventually managed to break the door in, found the young lady on the floor again, absolutely out of her mind, really frightened. Clearly something had happened. Some presence, for whatever reason, I don't know what reason, didn't like her going in there. Now, bringing it up to right to the present, now this is the interesting thing, and that is, it has often been mentioned and recorded that because of where it is, sometimes in an evening, weekends in particular, and I know when I say this, everybody is going to make up their own mind at this point and say, oh yeah, we know what this means.
You mean closing time or something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Students have gone past there and they've looked up, and some have remarked and said, hold on a minute. Oh, look, there's somebody stood in the window. In like Victorian period, kind of, like a maid, you know.
Yeah.
And some have thought it was just maybe a dummy or just somebody looking out. But nobody has really realized that perhaps what they're actually looking at is perhaps the ghost of a young lady who died there all those years ago.
I love your... I love your dramatic reading voice, Mike. It's so good. It's really good. Well, it makes you think, doesn't it?
It makes you think.
Ta-da.
Absolutely. Now, I think what I found intriguing, quite seriously, I know people would laugh and say, hold on a minute, we're following this one. Okay, Saturday night, students going past.
Oh, look, it's amazing, the window.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's that bird up there. Oh, she looks a bit of all right dressed in Victorian gear. Absolutely. But the truth is, maybe they have seen something from a long time ago. Clearly, and I don't know how or why it happened, what we can glean from this story is, one, that there was a physical interaction. Something frightened people, particularly the lady who once was involved with the library. Something frightened them. It was real. I'm not saying what it is. I'm not saying why. What I am saying is, maybe it's not the ghost of a person. Maybe it's the actual, maybe it was the building. Who knows? But at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to. We're two men and a ghost. We never say to people, yeah, we believe. We don't say we disbelieve. We take everything at face value.
Yeah.
We hold our hands up and we say we seek that which cannot be found. And so far, we haven't found anything that we're seeking. But nonetheless,
I hold my hands up when I need the toilet.
Oh dear, you're not at that stage now, are you? Oh my goodness.
Well, actually,
me.
Speaking of which, I think we'll have a break. But not from you, because as listeners probably picked up, we are now regularly featured in Haunted magazine on sale in Smith's, and the latest issue is out now, with 4-page spread with your cartoons of describing all the different attempts we've made at trying to locate the Mad Monk of Stocksbridge Bypass, again in Sheffield. So to promote the article in Haunted magazine, I recommend everyone go out and buy it from Smith's. If you want festive ghost stories and for these winter months, please go out and buy it. But here is a recording of Mike in his car with me in the passenger seat, scared out of my mind. Not because of Mike driving.
Because of my driving.
But because we're trying to find this ghost. This is an extract from a video we've put up on YouTube on our channel. We have a channel on YouTube. So if you go to youtube.com, our channel is The2MG. That's 2MG, M for Michael and G for granules. I don't know. 2MG, The2MG. You'll find the full-length video. But here's just a few minutes of me in Mike's car and Mike telling the story about the Mad Monk of Stocksbridge. So, Mike, as we head towards the bypass, we've done this about 3 or 4 times and just haven't found anything, have we? But was it you know a couple of people who have had experiences on the bike paths.
That's right. Yeah. The thing is, it's one of these things about...
I can't see you. It's too dark. Shall I just look at the road?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Let's see where we're going.
Whoa.
Where are we going?
We might see a ghost.
Yeah, it's one of those things whereby two men and a ghost always like to tackle these things with humour, good fun, as people will know for being kind enough to jump in onto the blog. However, there's a lot of serious issues that are linked with this bypass, and one which, if our good viewers will permit me to share again, hold on, I'll just switch them out here safely, and we're off.
Oh, McDonald's.
And that is, there's the situation where a gentleman who is known as Chuck.
This is a real person.
Yes, indeed. I can vouch for this guy. He's a really, really great guy. Got a lot of respect for him. He's a very good man, very down to earth. This is how it basically turned out. We got a situation that late one night, Chuck is in his wagon. It's a Chuck wagon. Sorry.
You're sure this is real?
No, honestly it is, but I couldn't resist the pun. Sorry about that. But he's driving along, just as we are right now. The main difference is that it's the early hours of the morning, and there is only himself and also another car on the road. Everything seems fine until he becomes very much aware that the car in front of him starts to move and drive somewhat erratically.
Mm.
Now, as a result of it, whilst keeping his distance, not knowing exactly what is going on, because of the sort of guy he is, he wants to help, so he keeps a watchful eye on the vehicle, and as the vehicle pulls into the side very quickly, he pulls in front of the car and gets out. When he started to slowly walk towards the car, he noticed there was a young lady in the car crying, and his first reaction was that perhaps it was somebody who was upset, maybe it had had an argument. It might be a domestic situation, an argument with a boyfriend, a husband, who knows. But when he got near, she immediately wound the window down, and she said the words that a lot of people on this stretch of road actually have said many times, and that is, "Did you see him?" This is the part where Chuck admits that a cold feeling goes down his back. "See who?" he asks. She tells of how, whilst driving along this stretch of road, suddenly the temperature in the car started to drop quite abruptly. As it did, she became equally aware that sitting next to her, there was a figure. A figure she described possibly as a man dressed in what could only be described as a monk's habit. Understandably, and who wouldn't, understandably, she started to panic, but she started to lose control of the vehicle. Not to the point of being dangerous, I must admit, but understandably concerned. By the time, of course, she'd pulled up, the figure had gone. Now, that isn't the first time people have spoken of this type
goosebumps.
Of thing.
So that could happen to us.
It could happen to us. It could happen to anybody. I know of a case of a guy with a motorbike that each time he has taken that bike on this stretch of road, he starts off okay, then suddenly things happen to the vehicle, the bike, I should say, and the bike starts to lose power. It's fine to a point, but he just manages to get to the other side, and then it manages to get back to some semblance of normality.
So strange things happen to people's cars and vehicles.
Happens to... Yeah, there's some... It's very difficult to describe some kind of electrical or electromagnetic problem that obviously happens in this part of the woods. It could be for numerous reasons, but one thing one can say regarding the figure of the monk, if you go back something in the region of maybe 500 years or so, it turns out that in this particular area, there were either a, I don't know how you would correctly term them, a group of monks who were working in the area, but one in particular, one guy, for some reason, he fell out with the order. I don't know why. It's too long ago. I don't think anybody knows why. What we do know is that, unfortunately, when he died, he was buried in this area, but on, what is the correct term now, ground that isn't consecrated. I'm embarrassing. My brain has switched off. It must be the monk. It's affected my brain. But the point is one has to question all these things.
Yeah.
Have an open mind. Okay, at the end of the day, it might be a giant, massive coincidence. We don't know.
But a lot of people have had strange experiences on this very stretch of road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is one thing, if I could just add that very quickly, that this really started a few years ago on a TV report of how some men who were working as security guards happened to see and witness this character, this monk.
I think I saw that one.
Yeah, it was very informative, very interesting. Opened a lot of questions, you know. But again, right in the area we're at, so who knows, driving along, we might encounter a monk walking across the road.
Oh, flipping heck.
We don't know. But that's why we're two men and a ghost, and that's why we want people to keep looking in. It could be tonight.
Because we're fearless.
We are there. We seek that which cannot be found.
Behold.
Behold, we say, and begone.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the traffic noises in the background as Mike told that story. If you want to read my version of it, illustrated with Mike's cartoons, then please go to Smith's and buy the latest issue of Haunted Magazine, and it'll be there. And the title of the article is I Don't Like Monk Days, which is cue Mike sound machine with laughter. Yes, with no prompting whatsoever.
Sorry about that. And, sorry, I do it again. Oh, yes.
While that was on, I've had my loo break. Mike's eaten a few hamburgers, and we're ready to tell one more Sheffield story at the end. And I think you had a personal story as well, didn't you, Mike? So, please.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Do you want me to go to the Sheffield story first, my friend?
You do what you want.
Okie dokie. Right. Okay. Let's head on to another really interesting story that's brought from the spiritual and spooky side.
Is it really interesting?
Of course it is. They're always interesting.
It's right. Got to be interesting. It has that fanfare before it, doesn't it?
Now this one really is food for thought, but on so many different levels. It's not a big story, it's a short story. But it has got areas that I found intriguing. There is a part of Sheffield in the city centre called Chapel Walk. And Chapel Walk is virtually opposite the Sheffield Cathedral. Now, the fact of life
was
is
this where we went? We did a walk right through Sheffield for one of our early podcasts, didn't we? So
we were close to that.
We were close.
So yes, we were very close to it.
So we weren't quite there. So this is a different story, but
absolutely.
Okay. Oh,
absolutely.
Looking forward to this.
Now, going back a long time ago. In this country, that most churches, whether they become cathedrals or whether they're parish churches, if you look at, if you take time to go around the graveyards, you will find that the graves and the headstones that are closer to the building usually belong to people who maybe came from industrial families, people who were well-to-do, and that's why you get these incredibly beautiful monolithic statues. They're absolutely gorgeous. I mean, if you're into that type of thing, of course. Mm. But, of course, it leads to question that the further away, it was more, and I use the term loosely, more the common man. Now, it is said that underneath Chapel Walk, it just so happens that underneath there are a number of bodies, going back obviously a long time ago, that are buried there. It was an area that also was deemed as unconsecrated ground.
Oh, wow.
Now, I viewed it on one level, and I thought, this is genuinely very sad that people's loved ones
were
just dumped there. There's no other way you can say it.
Yeah,
they were dumped there. And I find it so sad that, you know, today there is no nothing that commemorates the fact that these people existed, these people had lives.
Mm.
But, so that is the one side, the emotional aspect, shall we say. The other side that I find is very interesting is that it has often been said that people who very late at night, some have said, walking down Chapel Walk when alone, that they have felt somebody grab their ankles, and they've peered round, and there's no one there.
Mike, tell me, does this relate to your first story? Does this happen when people are coming out of pubs?
Well, I've got to admit, it really does sound, without a shadow of a doubt, doesn't it, that when you're thinking of students coming out late Saturday night, you know, and you think there'll be some students. I remember my student days once, embarrassingly, at 3 PM, actually trying to get back to base by crawling on my hands and knees. But that was many, many years ago. And so maybe even
trying
now.
Trying to imagine that.
Yeah, there'll be some people saying, I was walking down the street one day, and I saw this strange ghostly figure going along the pavement. It was only 3 PM,
right.
And he tried to grab my ankles. So maybe they thought I was a ghost.
Well, I don't know about you, but all it takes is a couple of pints of Heineken.
Stories where the humour aspect, for me, thinks, oh, yeah, it was a student who lost his keys.
Well, yeah, of course.
Get up. You know, so, yeah, that makes sense to me. But...
No, you see, all it takes for me is to have a couple of pints of Heineken, and I think, I just want to go outside and grab someone's ankles.
Oh, dear me. It reminds
In fact,
us of
I'm going to do it now.
It reminds us of a mutual friend who's actually into ankles as well, I seem to remember. Oh, my God, he's on the go again. Oh, never mind. But, you know, you can't just look at a lady's ankle and go, wow, she's beautiful. No, it can't stop at them. Terrible. But anyway, so it kind of got me thinking, you know, I kept thinking how sad it is that you do have people there who once had lives and they've gone.
Oh, yeah, we can't make fun of that. You know? That's horrible.
The ghost side of thing, obviously it's open to question, but nonetheless... It would be very interesting if somebody could contact us and say, yeah, I remember like one night going down Chapel Walk, I felt something grab my ankles. So, now that could be interesting.
Right, Mike, live here on the podcast, shall we make an agreement that at some point in the next few weeks we'll make that another podcast?
Yes.
Shall we do one live from Chapel Walk at a certain time of night? And live,
we could
we'll
say,
see if anything
have you
happens
been grabbed by the ankles?
Yes. It'll be the ankle podcast.
Yeah, but is that where we get arrested?
That could be the next podcast.
That could be really, really good, actually. I would enjoy that. We shall go in search of the ankle grabbing googly. I really wish I had said that.
You don't mean the googly grabbing ankle?
Yeah, the it's just like a ghost who wants to grab your ankles. Oh heck, what am I saying? Yeah, it's getting really embarrassing now. Oh dear me. Oh dear me.
Quick, Mike.
Shall I
tell your personal story? We need to go from the ghouly, the ankle grabbing. Never mind.
Okay. On a personal story. Now, we've got to go back a long way because. I'm basically, I'm rapidly moving towards becoming an old-timer. So we're starting to talk about a story of when I was about 9 or 10. And to set the scene, I grew up in a house for the first 11 years of my life that did, it was a very old house, and it did have a certain, shall we say, history.
Now this was in Bradford, wasn't it? You grew up in Bradford.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, late one night, now, normally the house was quite full. It was my grandmother's house, and it had 8 bedrooms, including that house my parents and I lived. And my grandmother would, from time to time, she would have lodgers who would come and stay. So it was a very interesting upbringing. I was always meeting new people, interesting people, of different backgrounds, lives. I found it fascinating. But one night in particular, the only people in the house happened to be my mother and myself. Now,
sorry, that wasn't your sound machine.
Sorry. So what happened was that I'm sitting there in the room with my mother. Now, all the lights are out in the house, except the room we're in upstairs. And suddenly became very conscious that we were not alone. So, I turned to my mom, and I said, "Mom, I can hear something." And we really could. We could hear the sound of the piano in the front room playing.
It wasn't Les Dawson, was it Les Dawson?
But it wasn't
Liberace.
Anything. Great melody, you know. When I say playing, I'm talking about, you know, somebody would be frustrated and angry, and they're banging the keys really hard with their fists, and they're really mad. Well, we could hear this.
Oh, no.
Now, there's two things one has to consider in this story. Number one, like, nobody, and I'm sure the people with grandmothers out there, they would perhaps add to this, and that is there were certain rooms in the house that had certain rules, and as a child, I was always told, you can't go in that room. It was always kept for guests, really. But what happened was that when we opened the door, now bearing in mind that the lights are off, to go downstairs, it's pitch black, except the room that the sound is coming from was a thin slither of light.
Gosh, I can imagine this.
So as we slowly walked down, now, this is where you've got to understand when you're, say, 9 or 10, you know, it's a mixture of feeling of, yeah, I'm frightened, but I'm excited. What is it? I'm an idiot. So I shot downstairs, and I got to the door, and my mother was behind me, and we could hear the keys getting banged really violently. Suddenly, now, again, you know, your parent tells you to do one thing. As a child, you do the opposite. My mother says, don't open the door. Oh, you've done it. You've opened the door. I push the door open very quickly, expecting naturally to see somebody sitting there. What I would have done as a young kid, I don't know. That would have been ridiculous. It would have been disastrous. But I shot inside. No one there. The banging on the piano stopped as soon as I barged into the room. The lid of the piano was up. Now, that's the other point to make. Most people will accept that. The piano lid, getting on the keys. My gran was very particular about it. The lid was up. And I remember distinctly as a child putting my hand on the keys, and I could feel the vibration still humming through the ivory.
Oh.
Something had been banging on it. But there was nothing in the room. There was no question that something had been banging on it. My mother had heard it. I'd heard it. It had provoked us to go. The light was on even. Again, there were all these questions. No answers. And I've got numerous stories of...
Was the piano, right? Was there an obvious tune, or was it just banging of random notes?
It was just literally banging random notes that somebody who... Or if you imagine somebody who is...
Well, couldn't it have been a cat or a bird or something?
No.
How come?
So they could play the birdie song.
Right.
Sorry.
But you said the lid wasn't normally up, was it? And you can't...
No, the lid was never up.
And you can't have a crow or a cat lifting up a lid, can you?
No. Unless it was a very, very clever cat, you know. And perhaps it was a cat who liked classical music, like Katmaninoff.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that bit bust. Sorry about that.
I'll edit that out.
Yet another terrible joke. there's no explanation. But there again, I've always gone on this basis, and in different times of my life, I've encountered various situations where I have no explanation. Sometimes I can't find one, and maybe I don't look for one. I just accept it at face value, and I think, well, I don't understand how that happened. There was no evidence of how it could have happened, but it happened. And I know, well, as we both do, when we've spoken to people, that there have been people who've come along and said, look, we want to share with you a story. We want to share with you a story that maybe we're embarrassed about sharing it. Maybe it's the first time we've ever shared this story. But as always...
We always treat people with respect, don't we?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I always tell people, I say, look, Two Men and a Ghost, it is an entertainment blog. We do the podcast. We inject a lot of humor. The humor is always aimed at ourselves, never at the source, because we respect the fact that person, they've gone out of their way to share something that is important to them. And so on that point, I would say to those listening to this, you know, if you do have stories you want to share.
Oh, please.
You know, get in touch with us.
TwoMenAndAGhost@hotmail.com. Or if you want to write a story or send an MP3, please do.
That would be
good. Or leave a message on the podcast page at Podomatic, or just get a hold of us and let us know, and we're happy to pass your story around. That would be great.
Now that sounds like an idea. Brilliant. I liked it.
Do you think we've got to the end of another podcast?
I think we've got to the end of another podcast.
That's good. Well, I've got half a container of Ovaltine ready. So
really?
Yeah, I think I'll have some of that to celebrate.
Fantastic. You know what I feel like having right now, actually, quite seriously, and I hold up my hand, I'm addicted to these. Apple turnovers.
Oh.
Oh.
Just get a pack of four. It's the sugar, isn't it? It's the sugar and the puff pastry. So,
sorry about that.
Is someone grabbing your ankles?
No, I tell you what's really exciting. You go into a store and you see one pack of apple turnovers, and just as you get near it, you see somebody else that's moving in, and they want that same pack of apple turnovers, but you're not going to let them. No way. There's no way they're going to get in there. And you move in, and you grab the apple turnovers. Oh, victory is yours.
Mike, I can quite honestly say that you finally scared me.
Thank you. Thank you. I thank you.
And there's more where that came from in the next podcast. So stay tuned. We look forward to thrilling you and scaring you and grabbing various bits of you in the next podcast from Two Men and a Ghost.
Fantastic. Look after yourselves and bye now.
Special thanks to Spike Nesmith for scary voice and sound effects at the beginning of this podcast. Thanks to Ever Desireless for their atmospheric music called Assembly Line Romance. Thank you for listening. Thanks to The Lizard. And we hope to join you soon for the next eventful podcast of Two Men and a Ghost.